Okay, this is the special finance committee meeting, June 25th, 2025. Item one is a call to order. Item two, comments from the public. Richard, you have something?
Sure. As long as you ask.
I'm sure I don't need to say this, but this committee really needs two board members on it. I realize why there aren't any, but I just want to mention that.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Okay, thank you.
There are a lot of committees with one board member at the moment.
That's true.
Item three, audit update.
All right, so in front of you, you see my update. Audit 21-22. Our team, we're working on responding to the auditor's outstanding item list. We're at 95%. Last time it was 85%. It's a little bit slower, and we think that will be done by the end of this week. We encounter several problems while working on this list. The first one is the bank reconciliation. It's not done, so we have to redo it. And we also noted accounting error by the PUN group for fiscal year 2021, which lead to the problem in number one, bank reconciliation. Another problem we saw is fixed assets also is not done, so we have to rework on that. And the last item is we found out that there are two databases, which causes confusion among the accounting team members. Two databases do not have the same data, so we were trying to figure out which one is the real one. So all these delay our work, but I am pretty sure that we can be finished by the end of this week. So the auditor also, in the second line item, audit fieldwork testing. There, last time, as I reported, it was 50%, now it's 65%. They're really working with us, giving us more additional item. So I make sure that they have enough work to do their work. So that's audit 21-22. For audit 22 and 23, Amelia, can you scroll down a little bit? So for this item, there's not much going on with these two audits because I pull all my staff to target, make sure that audit 21-22 are finished. But I review all their accounting that I've done since February, so it's a second line, 100%. So as soon as we get a break from 21-22, they'll be moved back to 22-23 and 23-24 audits. Now the next stage is to re-input all their data into Great Plains, the accounting system. That will be a challenging one because they have never done that before. And inside there are two databases, so I'm expecting that I've added on an additional week on the third line to make sure that we have enough time to do that process. Yeah, number three there, audit 24-25, haven't started that yet, but I am going to look into hiring another consultant this coming week. And then number four is budgets. We've just worked on it, completed that, and we'll be presenting it next.
Okay. I really appreciate the way this is now being presented. And it shows me logically how we're progressing through it. And every time we discuss it, we don't wind up with a different perception as to where we were. And this looks good. So you're going to bring that third person on?
Yeah, if I find somebody this week, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to need to start that process really fast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, I know a lot of the accounting data are in the system. We just need to start reconciling them.
Right.
So.
Right, and that's, we can do all that. The first two steps of this we can do, but then we kind of have to wait
until
for the
first
other two
to
catch up before we can actually start to compile.
Right.
This year.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
And I have no public comment on that topic.
Oh, well, we have to, yes, we have to officially move on. Review the budget calendar.
No, item number...
Wait a minute. Final review of the operating budget.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's what we're here for, John.
I know.
Okay, so the fiscal 25-26 revenue summary, it's on the TV. And you can tell that... Can we go back to the pie chart? So you can tell that our total revenue is $10.5 million. If you go all the way down to show them the... Sorry about that. It's $10.5 million with 81% as residential fee. And commercial fee is 8%, which is listed in that line item there. And property tax is about 9%. So that makes up the whole composition of revenue. Now moving to the proposed expenses. Can you guys all see the pie chart? All the words are very clear there. Our total expense for the year is 9.57. And with majority of our expenses sitting in salary and benefit, 56%. And then the next roundup is professional fee, $1.9 million. And then insurance, supplies, utility, repair and maintenance, and other expenses made up $9.5 million.
Can you give us just a verbal breakdown on professional services? What's in that $2 million?
Sure. With $1.5 million as the contract supplier, Calways.
Okay.
And the rest of it is consulting fee with WG Water Sewage Consulting, various kind.
Okay.
And there's legal services with RWG for $90,000. And then audits and other consultant as about $40,000.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Yes.
I don't know what it takes to do this. Does it make more sense to break out Cal Waste as an individual entity? I mean, it spurs a question that you're going to get at the public meeting of, well, what are all these $2 million worth of professional services? Is that all those legal fees and all those people that are suing you and all this other stuff?
Yes, I can
another
chart or another layer of details to provide that.
Okay, yeah. Because, I mean, it makes it much more self-explanatory to say that our RWG fees are 90,000 of the million nine. Okay.
Yeah. We do.
And I think we made this change from that preliminary meeting we had. We're including the money we get from the county as part of this revenue base, correct? Didn't we say we
you
were
mean the property tax?
Yeah.
For the revenue?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So for the going back to the revenue summary,
mm-hmm.
we have can you go?
Yeah. A little bit more.
The property tax is sitting in 9% there. Now this total revenue, it's only revenue from residents and commercial. No reserve or book in here. There will be another chart that you can see it as a reserve. What kind of a reserve we have this year?
So when you look at the average residential bill, the 254. That takes 2,900 and what, 15 customers and divides it by the
So
expense.
I took the resident, so there's an average residential income per bill monthly, 254. That's taking the resident fee and the projected customer for residential to obtain that 254.
And does that include, when you look at that 254, does that include their reserve contribution?
No.
No.
Just that.
Uh, Okay, we may want to do something with that, but let's keep going. Let's see how this falls together.
Okay, so let's go to the reserve tab.
Proposed expenses, okay, reserve summary, I'm here with you.
Yep, so the reserve, these, can we look at the total? The total is 2.7 million, and there's 1.2 million sitting for reserve contribution. Connection fee is 193, and property taxes is 970. And there's related investment earning of 400K, which makes up the 2.7 million.
So let me, the number that got you the 254 was dividing residential plus commercial customers?
Just the residential.
Just the residential. What happens when you divide that 2784 by residential customers? I'm just, I could do it.
You did that, right?
Yeah, so the average monthly bill with adding in reserve is 286 because it's $32 okay. a month. Because 16 is water, 16 is sewer. So if we just added in, the average monthly bill would be 286 by that average.
Would you like me to change that?
No, I'm thinking maybe we want to note that because the 254 number is interesting, but it's not meaningful. The real number is the 286 for the average residential bill, and that should correspond to the 218 notice, Amelia, does it?
The 218 notice, I have to bring it up one moment. It's right here and here. Oh, you guys get to see how the sausage is made now. Content.
I wonder if
here
I
it is.
Huh?
Here it is. I guess we really need the sample bill, not the 218 notice.
Yeah, and it won't, it probably, if it's a sample bill, it's not going to match that number because they're two different things. If I'm.
What? Well,
I can't read that.
Like 282.78 is the total proposed monthly rate for inside the gate, and outside the gate, 222.82.
Okay.
So 282, and what were you at, 284?
286.
Okay. 286. We can live with $4. Okay.
Yeah, I think
on
that's...
On an average. Yeah, because it's a blended average, and it's not going to correspond directly to this.
Yeah, because okay. the...
Because you're dividing part of your element, you're dividing in that number is paying a lower base rate because they're outside the gate.
Exactly.
So it's going to bring the number down.
They pay a lower rate for the security tax and the drainage tax.
Right.
But their water.
But their
and sewer
their water
are
and
same.
Sewer. That's correct. You're right. You're right. Okay.
Okay. Here we go. Here's the reserves.
Any questions before I move to more numbers? All right, let's go to the next one.
Okay.
So this one is budget summary by fund, which is a detailed level of the two pie chart that you looked at previously, with the 10.5 million as the total revenue, and the breakdowns are by fund. This one includes the property tax. So if you look at the highlighted column, which is the budget year, we have 970 as the property tax coming from administration. Water is 3.7 million. Wastewater is 2.2. Drainage is 245,000. And solid waste is 1.7 million. Security is 1.7 million. If you look at overall, they're pretty consistent to the prior years, except there's a little decrease with drainage that is from the investment earning. The calculation is a little bit more conservative this year due to the market.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So now with the expenses, it's 9.57 also very consistent with the prior years. The biggest change are the water, wastewater, and drainage. It's mainly because of several material and supplies, which you'll see in the detail level. The expenses were dropped significantly. And there's also a reallocation of salary costs between the three different operation areas. Now the net is 1 million. We've always have a net, and that's really from the property tax. So now the next one is all fund. This is another view from the budget summary, but listed out by the nature of the expenses and revenue. Can you make it bigger for the first category, the revenue? Right, so so the blue highlighted column is also the proposed budgets with 9.6 million. And you can see that the first line is residential fee, 8.5, which is the same pie chart that you saw in the first presentation, first page. So I'm not going to go through all of the detailed line item, but they are pretty much consistent with the prior year with the rate, with a little bit of a rate increase. Any questions?
Not yet, no. I'm good at this point.
Now the expenses is also 9.5 million as we talked about in the second pie chart. And the total expenses, 9.5 million, is also pretty consistent with the prior years with a 4% increase. If you, Emily, if you can show the changes on the right-hand side. You see the 4% overall increase? So it's not a big change. There are, when I was analyzing this, I see that there, Mark did a good job in looking at the actual expenses and decrease certain categories from the prior years. So there's a lot of changes within the category, but it's coding and also salary allocation. So the overall net for this year is just by the fund. It's 34,756, and this chart, this number here do not include the reserve. It's just operation. Now, if you get down to, Emily, if you can show the expense category on the left-hand side. Yep, so down below here, we'll show you the 970 property tax added back into the all fund. Because this all fund here only show you the operation funding, water, sewage, drainage, security. But now we're adding back the 970, which is from the administration into the whole equation. Then down below here, you will see the restriction for the reserve fund for capital projects, which is 1.8 million. Now, so the total for the reserve and the revenue and expenses net is 2.8 million down below. Any questions?
Yeah, how much, what do we have left on that water plant debt? Do we know that number? The $6?
The $6?
Monthly one? Charge that we've been paying for 10 years?
Yeah, I know, I need to. I can get that for you and
I'd like to understand that number. We've been paying that since 2014, so we need to be getting reasonably close to.
Yeah, so we are projected to be paid off with that by June or July.
Okay.
That schedule is based on the number of customer, so it's I don't have the firm number for the next year. If we have more people paying through the debts, then we have more money to pay off the loan. So it fluctuates. But it's, I took it out in the water and the water plant debts. You see that right at 193, it's empty now. But in the past, it's 188. So I took it out because it's projected with the same amount of customer base. We should be done by this June and July.
Okay. And it would be, I mean, your fluctuation from that is going to be minimal. I mean, it's $6 a month. It's not going to.
Yeah.
Times the number of connections we make, it's not going to make a lot of difference.
Right. So I also took out that fee from our reserve revenue, thinking that it might, you know, we don't need that.
Okay.
So.
So just so I understand this, if it ends in June or July, where does that revenue go?
This is a topic on this agenda later on this morning. Item number 7.
Yeah.
If you want to.
No, so yeah, technically,
we can wait.
Because it's, you know, we're hoping that the Finance Committee moves it up to the board for a discussion and a decision on where that money will go.
Yeah, okay. I think I already know that answer.
Okay.
So technically, that fee, once we're done paying off the loan, we can't charge that, or we can save it for other means.
Yeah.
Depends on what you guys want to do. But I cannot include it in as part of the revenue here.
Okay.
Okay, next page.
All right. So administration. So we, can you make it a little bit bigger? Okay, just highlighting the blue column. So perfect. So we have the first item, 970 is the property tax assessment. And that's sitting inside the administration fund. And if you scroll down a little bit to show the total expenditure, we're at $2.6 million. And the increase, it's putting the insurance. If you look at the $2.6 million, I added a new row called insurance. Insurance used to be sitting inside the fund. I put it out as an administration cost because that's something that it's a direct cost to the administration, which will be allocated. So that's the increase there.
Okay.
And there's a drop in material supplies. I think Mark, when he did his budgets, he dropped a lot of the material supplies from the prior budget. So he looked at all the actual expenses that incurred last year and then come up with that. And then if you scroll down a little bit, the $2.6 million is then, the $970,000 from the property tax is then reallocated to different funds, to water, wastewater, and drainage. That shows the reallocation of the revenue. If you scroll down a little bit, Melia, the $2.6 million is also going to be reallocated to the various funds with water, $1.4 million, wastewater, $589,000. So all the numbers are reallocated fully to the various funds.
Okay.
Any questions? Good.
So basically, we fully allocate where
administration.
You know, if it's done correctly, that it's zero.
Yep.
Okay.
Now we're going into the detail, the water fund. We projected out for $3.7 million as total revenue for the water fund. And a total expenses, you can scroll all the way down to look at the total expenses.
Total expenses all the way down here.
Yep. So, the total expenses, total expenditure is $2.2 million compared to $2.4 in the prior years and $2.9 in the prior years. There's a decrease of negative 8%. Amelia, would you mind showing the decrease on the side? So it's pretty consistent. Majority of the dropped is a smaller number for maintenance and supplies or repairs. Yes?
I can speak to some of that probably, because I know there's probably concerns over how we're dropping some of those numbers. Maintenance and repair, with that cost going down, historically what's happened is most of our supplies and different purchases have been allocated to this fund as a maintenance and repair. And so working on the budgets originally with Mark, we shifted a lot of that to supply because a maintenance and repair is usually partly done professional services or repair work like labor. And a lot of the supplies were actually getting purchased under that, which would be inaccurate. It would be an inaccurate representation. If you're buying a valve to repair something, that's still a supply, not really a repair purchase. And so what we've done is shifted those monies, and then also working with some of the stuff, I think staff can handle some of these items that were being done. For example, we are preparing to do our own dam report and turn that in. Basically, it describes the safety of the dam. There is a portion of it which is done by KSN for surveying. I've worked with Dominic Kelly to basically take over that report, and some of those reporting duties we'll start doing internally, and some of that also is water right reporting and items like that. So that's why the items are going down, is because we can try to do a little more stuff in-house and save on some of those expenditures that we can use differently to then do different items. Also, capital improvement isn't a portion of this, so that's why some of that's been lowered. We've moved capital improvement to really try to get it into capital improvement, where in years past sometimes it's been hitting in the expenses.
So where you come up with an 8% decrease in expenditures, I'm trying to understand globally, if you want to call it that, why it's gone down.
It's mainly of the salary allocation between the three funds, the water, wastewater, and drainage. We've looked at the allocation of his department, especially in the administrative, to allocate better, in a better way, among these entities, among these funds. So as a whole, within the drop, it's like what he said, the repair maintenance. But when you look at individual fund combined together, they're almost the same. So you can tell from going back to all fund.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
Not administration, this one's?
It's all fund, yeah. If you can show the expenses.
Okay, down to the expenses and all
the right, expenses. And show the 9.5 something. If you go up a little bit.
Here's the 9.5.
Right, if you go up a little bit more, yep, stay there. And so the 9.5 compared to last year, 9.2, we have a 4% increase. Combining all the fund together.
Okay.
So it's individual fund, there's big changes because we've done a better job in allocating his supervisors' salaries into the different fund based on what we see. In the past, it's a different allocation.
Okay.
So we've allocated, you know, back then there's your allocation into solid waste, which we think that there's not a lot of involvement. So we dropped that allocation to a 4% when it was previously 7%, and with all the fund, water, wastewater, and drainage, we also looked at how your department, your supervisor department, should be allocated to the different fund. So that's why as a whole it didn't really drop, but individual fund you see big fluctuation with salaries and benefit. So
in that reallocation, and we're probably going there anyway, where did that
change
reduction in water wind up?
Yeah, so if you, Emily, if you can scroll all the way to the summary, the part that you have the summary.
The water budget summary?
No, it's all the way, those supplementary data.
Oh, I know which one, okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
This one, so if you can make it a little bit bigger,
I can see.
Okay, so the first draft when Mark presented the IRC, which is the allocation rate, the first draft is so small. Can you make it bigger? Okay, good. Now, do we have all the, okay. So the first draft, you can see that it's 52 for water, 22 wastewater, drainage is 7%, solid waste for the first draft is 7%, and security 12. Now the revised one, the changes are in water and solid waste. So that's why you see that the water has a big change. And within the categories of within water, wastewater, and drainage, the supervisor management team, I've looked at how they should be allocating their salary to these three funds. So those also changed.
Look on the back page of the budget, last. No, look on the next. It should be right.
Second to last page on the back. So it's basically last.
That's
page
it,
back.
Yeah, the green one. Okay.
Any other questions?
Are we staying consistent in what we're doing with what we're collecting for drainage in terms of the tax?
Yes, so what's changed about drainage is that we're actually attaching, and in years past it's kind of been all over, and so we're trying to get an accurate representation, and the way we're doing that is staff time is actually, the utility staff time is being directly charged to these. And so when they do their actual work, they charge it to each fund independently, and that's what you see here is that there's some labor being associated now to drainage. And so it is a minimal shift, but the fees, and so it's still balancing. So yes, what we're taking in, we're just trying to get a more accurate representation of where staff time really goes and how much of it is used. In years past, there was quite a bit going to solid waste. And the front desk staff does spend quite a bit of time answering calls there, but administratively, HR does not really spend any time with solid waste, and most of the management team doesn't spend a lot of time with it, and so we've changed that. Historically, a lot was going to water and then being allocated out, and what we've changed is we're actually in payroll, we're being able to directly charge to those GL accounts, and so we're getting a much better representation of where items should be based off real staff time.
So if we look at drainage just for a minute, the Fund 260 page.
Amelia, can you move to Fund 260, please?
I can try to get us there. Security, so it must be one page up. Solid waste.
Drainage.
There you go. How's that?
All right. So, yes.
So, if we look at the proposed budget, we have revenue of 245. Correct?
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What do we know that number? What do we take in from drainage taxes?
I believe that comes directly from there.
Yeah, so that, well, my question is, are we exceeding in any way, are we exceeding the drainage tax and supplementing it with other income?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, you can see from this oh, you're in a different page. So if you can show the net at the bottom.
Okay.
So the net is 1184.
Oh, here you go.
You see the blue highlighted net operating. So we dropped the salary calls, which is up above. You see that two numbers with salary and benefit? So we dropped that number because the allocation is different.
The administrative allocations were pretty high, what was being charged from some of the funds, and so we reduced those and moved them to where we feel is much more accurate. Not much administrative time really goes into drainage.
Right.
There's typically every year a 2% increase, but you see a 4% change in revenue, and the reason that is because when we change it by 2%, it doesn't actually always break out to exactly 2% in the revenue that we see, and a lot of that is because of commercial and the way they're billed. And so their rate, that 2% gets larger than overall a 2% flat. So you would expect to see a 2%, but when you generate the revenue, that's not really how it breaks out.
The only reason I asked is that in there were amendments in the law that allow you to treat drainage differently than you do security. And that change came about when everybody realized that, you know, drainage, water, and sewer were essentially linked, okay, inside the total operating services. But when they created the law, they didn't understand that or didn't do it. And you were locking people into that 2% with no provision for increases in the amount of money you would need going forward. Security is different. You can't do it with security, but you can do it with drainage. So, but if we're staying inside the parameters, then we got nothing to worry about. Okay.
But as a whole, I think before I came on board, Eric has been booking his time, his actual time, his team's actual time into the payroll system, and so we pretty much know what the number should be. And in this budget, in the green column, current year and prior years, those are budget number, not actual number. So you can't see what the actual allocation looks like. But we actually do it based on the current year actual to see that, okay, the allocation really truly is lower. So, and that's why we relook at all the salary allocation and do it much better.
Okay.
And so we were at water fund, I think.
Going up.
So any question before I move to the next two funds?
No.
Okay, so fast forward to wastewater fund, which is next. So total revenue 2.2, the prior, and it's a 3% increase from the last year's, which is pretty consistent with the rate increase. And then if you can fast forward to the total expenses. The total expenses is 1.6, a little bit higher than the 1.5 and 1.3. Again, it's really mainly because of the allocation between the fund. And also material and supplies that we talked about. Down below, you'll see stay there. There's a $71,000 decrease with material supplies, and then 15 and a dropped. Now, that doesn't mean that we dropped the expenses. It's reallocated to the previous collection and supervisor management categories.
Oh, here?
Yeah. It's mainly, yeah. Or, like Eric said, used to be a CIP budgeted, but we moved all those into the fixed asset category. So you see a drop there, okay? So overall, your proposed budgets will net out with the administration allocation down at the 589, down below.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're netting out with 6,291 for this fund.
Okay.
Any questions?
I don't need this right away. I'm just curious. As you look at a comprehensive budget for wastewater, can we at some point consider how much of that is actually attributed to the production of recycled water? I mean, I understand there are costs to transport it.
Yeah, we would have to separate basically out the electrical cost. I think the cost to make it is pretty much stagnant because it would be the same if you were making it to release it into the river. I don't think there's an additional cost, but we could break out the electrical and try to look at what it costs for us to transport it from here over to Bass Lake, basically.
Well, yeah, but the reality of the way the permit is designed and way the master plan is designed, there is and never will be an option to release it into the river.
That's correct.
That's never going to happen.
That's correct. But if you're looking at it from two directions, meaning you have to put it somewhere. So it's either So the cost for it to be either is recycled or what we would have to get as an NPDES permit, they would break even because you're still going to have to treat it one way or another. The biggest cost, I think, for recycled is the delivery system of what you're doing. And potentially that could change depending on how the system is set up, meaning right now it's only delivered to Bass Lake. If you were to deliver it into the whole entire system and try to pressurize it and then try to reduce chlorine as a part of that, then there would be a much larger expense to break out. But the main expense for it now really is just the delivery.
Okay, so if, let me see how I ask this. If we're manufacturing 475 acre feet of recycled water on an annual basis, use that number, whether it's close. And 100% of that allocation is going to the country club. What is the actual cost to manufacture that water that would be attributed to them? And how does that differ from the actual cost of manufacturing water that comes from the potable source? You see what I'm asking?
Yeah. So I could tell you right now, I mean, if you're looking at it from that perspective, it would be 100% because everything that's treated as sewer goes to them, in essence. And then if you look at the difference of what it would cost potable, I would have to look at it, figure it out.
So am I making a correct or an incorrect assumption by saying that if you divide this by the amount of acre feet of water that we manufacture and dispose of in lieu of potable water on the country club, what is the actual cost of that water?
Yeah, I would say the most accurate way to look at it would be to look at it from the cost of delivery. Because if you don't deliver it, in essence, to them, you still have to deliver it somewhere. And so the real cost isn't in manufacturing, because we're going to have to manufacture it to that level either way. And then what you would be looking at is mainly what does it cost us to move it once it's treated.
Right. But assuming that there will be at some point in time for planning purposes water over and above the amount of water we deliver to them, or assuming that if we were not delivering that water to them, we would be delivering it someplace else, i.e. parks and RMA. I'm trying to understand what that cost per acre feet or acre foot essentially would be.
Yeah, that cost would be a lot higher, because currently, unless we were gifted the delivery mechanisms, we would then have to keep the system under pressure, which currently it's not. The electrical would go up substantially, because currently we pump less than probably 2 miles and into an open-ended service, and so it's basically a transfer system, whereas when you put it into a pressurized system to deliver to parks and everybody else, the electrical would be quite a bit, because now you're delivering it across, you know, a lot more square mileage. And also currently we don't have any existing pipes or a system to get it there. Our true ownership ends at Bass Lake. And the rest of the system to transfer the water really belongs to the country club.
Right.
And so taking that over, you're talking about, I think the number that's been kind of tossed around from the Troon report was about $8 million in infrastructure. And so when you look at just the infrastructure cost and repair and replacement, substantially that that water starts to get a lot more expensive in the recycled water.
But assuming that historically it was their responsibility, as it would be any other golf course on the planet, whether you were driving potable water through it or recycled water through it, there's an inherent cost or an inherent charge or an inherent rate, if you want to call it that. And the only reason I'm asking this is there's and I had a meeting that surrounded the organizational structure of what is happening here. And you have a couple of things that are kind of in play. Number one is it's about to be transformed not into a club whose ownership centers around just exactly what it is, a club that is owned by someone else and is leased to an entity who then has members that join it. It's about to be transformed either into a C corporation, an S corporation, or even perhaps an LLC with many, many, many LLC members. I have no idea how they would pull that off. And it becomes essentially a sale of water to a private entity. If the guy from Troon bought that country club, would we still be in a position where we would be offering them recycled water at no charge? And in light of what the grand jury told us in their recommendation, understanding it's a recommendation, okay, there was an eye-opening to the fact that they get it now for free. But there's also, in its formation, a period where the three entities that are involved in that process comprised about 97% of the total community population. It doesn't do that anymore. So that's the only, I'm not suggesting we do anything. I'm suggesting that we understand, and we tried this once in 2011, and it's in there. So
I can give you the number.
A cost for recycled water.
Yeah, and I can give you a number. If they were to use potable water, the revenue that would be generated would be $1.792 million.
Okay.
So that's what it would cost if they were to be using potable water at 550 acre feet, which I believe is the full contracted amount, was the 550 acre feet.
Right. Then.
That's the calculation that I used. It would be almost $1.8 million if we just round up just a tiny bit. It would be $1.8 million in revenue to the district. And so if you're looking at it as what does it cost for us to deliver that, that would be something I'd have to look at from basically what does it cost electrically, plus also the pipeline that goes across to them, because there is some repair and maintenance that belongs to the district, because
right.
That's ours.
And one of the things, and we're getting off the topic, but one of the things I conveyed to them was understanding that they're in some formulative stage now of if and when this transpires, they will create something. And it's a discussion we as a district would have to have first, because if there in fact is a charge for recycled water, you would have to know that if you were putting together, you know, a P&L that you're going to take someplace, whether it be to the membership or a bank or someplace else. So that's the only reason I'm asking. All right, that's enough. Huh?
What about the contract?
The contract has no provision whatsoever for charging or not charging. Doesn't say one way or the other. Never has.
I think, so with the contract, and this is a question, so I will drive those calculations, but with the contract and then possibly changing hands, at the time they change hands, the contract then is it correct that it's null and void and a new contract has to be put in place?
No, the contract
still
rolls
exists.
Over. It rolled over to its existing owner from the pension trust fund.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. I'm sorry. That was a diversion, but we can go back now.
That's okay. I think, I believe we are, we can start with solid waste.
Okay.
Because we talked about drainage back then.
Yeah, we did.
So solid waste, we have revenue projected out as 1.7 million, which is a 5% increase from the prior years. And that's almost the same as our rate increase. And then the only expenses that is sitting within solid waste is the cow waste picked up fee, which is in the 1.5 million there. This is also sitting in the professional fee that we talked about earlier. There's also a surcharge from the Sacramento County for 51. And that's why we dropped the administration allocation to this solid waste, because there's basically 24 invoices that we have to process. The rest of the work is done by cow waste, and we have to process billing and receive customer complaints.
Phone calls,
or phone calls or questions. So there's not much in here that warrant the 7% allocation, so we put it as 4% allocation.
Is that fair enough? I know we get,
yes,
as a percentage, it's the calls themselves are mostly related to garbage, aren't they?
Yeah, a lot of calls for garbage. It's a lot of, hang on, let me transfer you.
Yeah, okay.
And then we set up their new service. And
in most cases, when they call in here, we're just transferring them to cow waste?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and most of that, so that's most of that goes to one staff member's time, maybe two, but the admin allocation goes much deeper than that. You're talking HR, payroll, utility billing, all of the accounting staff, plus the GM. And so it's a high percentage of calls, but it's really a low dollar amount because there's no payroll or HR time spent on it. Finance and administration spends very little time on it because they're only handling like 12 invoices where every month for water and sewer.
Right. Yeah.
So that's why we changed it a little.
And on, just so I'm clear again, you told me this and I forgot it. The county surcharge, well, it exists.
Exists.
And we know the amount.
Yeah.
And where does it show up?
It's in
right here.
The 51,500 in the county surcharge.
No, I get it. I get where it is here.
Oh, well, on the bill, it is $3 a month for everybody.
Okay.
So it's located actually right here. This is the Prop 218 notice. This is the Sacramento County surcharge right here. It's the same $3. So it's been, I think it has been since I've been here, actually.
And we verified that. We started it at $3, and it's still $3?
I haven't verified that it started at $3. I can go back if you'd like to double check that.
Because it would have started in 2005 when I signed the original contract.
Okay, so go back to 2005. Okay, well, sure.
I would say from a rough calculation standpoint, that surcharge is still meeting the charge, if that's the question.
But I just... And it would be no different. The charge should be if you're in the county garbage program, you still pay it. It's not that it's just allocated to us. It's part
of
your,
everybody pays it.
It's part of your Sacramento County garbage bill or land, whatever they call it, waste, solid waste.
And I looked at my bill, and it's not broken out.
It's not okay.
Okay. Back to this.
All right, any question before we go to security?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Okay, security. So 25-26 projected revenue is 1.7 million, and compared to the prior year, 1.7 million. So I want to make sure that if you scroll up a little bit, this 24-25, it's based on an amended budget. So included in the 1.7 million For 24-25, there's the permit fee of $89,000 for barcode fee budgeted. Whereas this year, you can see that we dropped it to 40, which we estimated a lower amount of barcode active. We talked about in the last board meeting that it will be probably implemented in January, the coming January, and it will be for half a year. So we budgeted for half of that inside the $40,000. So you see a big drop of that $49,000 in this year.
So this, when we presented this originally, there were two fees that were projected. Was the first one essentially a retroactive fee? Okay.
That's correct.
Yeah.
We were going to.
But we have established January as being, as we continue with this program, if we're ready to go in January, we bill it in January, and then subsequently it will be an annual fee beginning in January.
Right. Okay. It would be based on calendar year coverage.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So the 89 there is it. In the note, it was to be charged in June, which is not happening. So that's why the $40,000
right.
is dropped
it was,
by half.
Yeah, okay, they were, yeah.
We've moved it down to make it more realistic. So this is a conservative factor because ADBI shows about 8,900. But we also know some of those 8,900 comprise not only the vehicles that RMCSD uses, but also RMA and other vehicles. And so this gives us a chance to kind of estimate the number until we get a real number. So that number that's being shown as revenue could change based off, you know, our outreach
right.
to the community. And so right now we felt being conservative would be a better approach at listing it as 4,000 potential barcodes that we could see. Instead of overestimating that number, we felt underestimating would be a more realistic goal.
Yeah, it may or may not, you know, no one knows.
Yes, exactly. So that's why
no
we put
knows.
It, we figure 4,000 based off the number of residents, you know, that could be a more realistic number, but we're not sure. And so we've estimated some revenue, but that could change potentially.
Do we now know, can a resident themselves remove a car?
I don't know yet.
I can get a hold of ABDI and work with them
to talk to them anyway. Eric, I'll call them.
Perfect. Thank
yeah,
you.
I know I was saying that last week, but
no, that's fine.
There.
And the other part of that is there. Was this some brain surgery they have to do to figure out what active what?
Yeah,
what
he
these,
said it. He said it could take weeks. It's taking them weeks to generate reports right now. So I will find out where our report is. And I asked him, well, if you make this report, I want it to be a report that I can generate myself on
yeah.
a monthly basis.
And it would be interesting to know.
I'm going to have to check my data.
It would be, and I have no idea what they've captured in their database and what they haven't. But, for example, if you knew that the day a barcode was issued, and there was a barcode issued in 1987, I'm the only person that could own that car. I mean, because I have one, but no,
I
probably nobody
I,
else
I
does.
I think I do. I think I can see that on my my side of ABDI.
It would give you a really, I don't know how meaningful, but if X portion of the barcodes were 20 years old, that would tell you something.
Yeah.
Not everything, but it would tell you something.
Yeah.
And where my concern is estimating estimated $40,000 in revenue cuts that number in half. So if it really is, oh wow, there's 6,000, then we're having another discussion about all this money that we didn't collect and the $25,000 that we have to go find or whatever, so we don't have to fire all the employees, you know. So that's I'm just curious if there's any before we cast this in stone, is there any idea that gives us a better guess, which is all it is.
Okay. Yes, yeah, but it's getting those reports back because who's he? That's application.
The people that run the app are the ones that have all this information,
right?
Or don't have it.
Who run the security? We purchased, rent, whatever their software.
Yeah, ADBI is a company. Apparently, I think out of Florida region.
Yeah.
And so I've heard from staff that their response time is less than desirable. And if we have some data, staff, we can try to look into it and basically see. But also, I think if we CC people and pressure them a little, I'm assuming they must have a database. It would be highly unusual because anytime a car is entered into the system, it has to be in a database somewhere.
Yeah.
The ownership of it and stuff may not matter. So if there is like a historical date that it starts, that would be a good way to at least get us close to some type of calculation. I think currently what we use was more like residential connections because we know we have about 2,800 of those. And so if you even just assume there's two vehicles to each of those connections, that's 5,600.
Yeah.
And so I think the 4,000 idea is kind of a conservative estimate. But I think that number, there'll probably be more revenue. And so that's part of the hurdle to get over is to find out what's most accurate. And so I think, you know, community outreach plus ADBI, we need to get it rolling if we plan to implement in January.
Yeah, we need to be one way or the other. We need a number.
Correct.
In January.
Yeah.
So just,
well,
just...
I mean, we need an accurate number by January.
Right.
So that's going to be a huge reaching out to all the customers in the community. It's going to be a massive.
The other thing, if RMA through the gate operation, I don't know if anybody ever implemented this. It was supposed to do this 30 years ago. If they track lifts, in other words, if you raise the gate, your barcode raises the gate. Is that somewhere recorded?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if another trick would be to look that. For starters, any barcode that hasn't lifted a gate in the last 10 years is probably suspect.
Right, but again, I don't have the, we can't run that report. ABDI has to build these reports for us.
Yeah, I know.
So,
I'm wondering, yeah, never mind. Because the gates themselves were supposed to, the gates were designed to provide that information before ABDI ever existed.
So the gates,
and I don't know whether they do or not,
capture that information. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But there's no...
Yeah.
I can't, you know, extract and then...
Yeah, no. I was
somehow,
just curious if RMA could. Yeah.
No, it's us. RMA doesn't even have the ability to look at ABDI. I don't think RMA can even look at ABDI.
Okay. Okay, next
so
case.
As we pay for it.
So another thing... Oh, sorry.
Tina was working at RMA, and she gave me the number.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like 8917 or something.
Right, yeah. And she gave... It was pretty consistent with what she gave me. Yeah. Okay.
So I want to point out something, too, is inside this budget, in the revenue number 1.730, the highlighted blue column, inside, there's the interest and investment earning. It's budgeted at $30,000, but in reality, the actual year-to-date as of February is $48,000. So we made it a point to be very conservative with the investment earning because of the market. So that number can go up.
Okay.
Which is...
Say that again.
So the $30,000 in the investment earning, it's a budgeted number that it's trending lower.
Right.
The year to date, February 2025 amount, it's almost $48,000. So I made it a point and Mark too to be conservative with the interest and investment earning. So even though this budget it's showing a loss, if you scroll all the way down, Amelia, it's showing a loss of $14,000. But we have unknown with investment earnings, and we have unknown with barcode. So that can change our end result. So Overall expenditure for this fund, if you can stay on the first one, the overall expenditure for this fund, it's $1.4 million. Compared to the prior years, it's 1% increase. And then down below, it's just a administration allocation to this fund, which caused us to have a negative $14,000.
Okay.
With that, I'd like to go back to the summary that you show. Not the summary, the next page.
Oh, this
There's
page.
Okay. Supplementary. So this is a higher level look of the net for each fund. So for water, we're net out to be 5,289. And then wastewater is 6,291. Drainage is 1,184, and solid waste is 36,000, and then with security is a loss of 14. So that's including all the administration allocation, but excluding the property tax. Any questions?
And with the 14, we don't know. Because of the unknowns, we don't, you know, between the investment income and the barcodes, we don't. We can't forecast it any more accurately than what we're doing, unless we just make it up.
You know? Exactly. And I think, you know, what's been highlighted is that we've been very conservative with that. So most likely that would be the worst shortfall that would be expected,
right.
Meaning it could easily be a solvent fund. But this is kind of that, you know, plan for the worst and be... at least be realistic with it. So it's a good estimate.
When was the last time on our investment income, when was the last time we got a portfolio or a statement or anything?
March is the last one.
Yeah.
We're
March.
Trying to get the April and May.
Okay.
Okay. So those were performing really well.
Yeah, and you know, I sat there for years when we were yielding 1%.
Or, it's 4%.
Yeah, now we're, yeah. And I'm just wondering over time if we have adjusted the investments and that adjustment has reflected, and I understand what's happened, you know, with rates, and it's now happening with rates. But I'm just wondering if there have been adjustments in the conservative nature of what we do that have impacted the yield.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, neither do
I. You know, right now it's still at 4%. So I can go back to last year around this time and see what the rate was at that time to see. If
yeah, and it will be higher. My concern, and it's not reflected in your numbers. It's just okay. What does the portfolio look like these days?
Oh yeah.
And is the nature of the investment contributing to the higher yield?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it would if it was a derivative.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I don't think we have, but
yeah.
So if that when we get that statement, is it on there? Are they showing us
no, actually, line item? No, it doesn't show the breakdown, the composition of the fund. It doesn't show that.
Can you find me that at some point? Just the current
balances of all our investment funds.
No, the
composition.
Well, yeah, the composition of the funds, and within the funds, the portfolio or whatever there's got to be an annual report somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of what that we're getting. I just like to see that at some point.
And then you want that for all of them? Because we have, I think, three. I think we have class, camp.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Leif.
And Leif.
I almost think we took every nickel out of Leif and put it over to class. But I'm not, I can't say for sure.
Yeah, that's, just show me what we got. That's
okay.
All.
We have one more schedule to talk about.
Yeah, go
after
ahead.
This. We're going to look at the reserve. So for fiscal 25-26, in addition to all our fee that we charge, we have fee charged for reserve purpose only. So you can see that water, we have $1 million, and it's broken out by reserve contribution, connection fee, and related investment earnings. And for wastewater, we have reserve for 763, and then for security, it's 50,000. So the total is 1.8 million. Adding on the property tax reserve, we're at 2.7 million. So all these are reserved for capital improvement and for various reasons that the board had desire to use these funds for capital improvement mainly. So that's all I have for the budgets, fiscal 25-26.
Okay. So if we're, I'm gonna just do some.
Yes, yeah, so you're looking at our capital improvement expenditure versus our reserve contribution. Most likely we would be netting about approximately, we'll say $350,000 is my best guess, because I think when we've adjusted it all, it was about $2.45 million in our capital improvements that are budgeted for this next year.
Yeah. And that works for me. That's fine. Okay. I'm just trying to understand.
And when we are done with the audits, we will know what's our net balance for all these reserve funds. So historically, every year we've charged a reserve fee, and then we've also used the reserve fee for capital improvement. So once the audits are done, then we'll have a balance.
So you, but if we back out connection fees and impact fees, and take full advantage of the, we're getting about $1.6 million plus 970. That's $2.5 million roughly, right?
Yeah. From,
and we've got I'm trying to get a number based on residential connections, what the actual contribution per meter is.
The top two lines would be that.
Yeah.
So you're looking at about, what is that, almost, so 1.2. Yeah, it's totalized. Yeah, so 1.2 million would be what's basically drew.
But you're generated. Also getting, well, you're not, because it's a comeback. I'm trying to figure out how the nine, if we give the 970 to reserves, which we've done. Essentially, you could make the argument, if we weren't doing that, I'm not saying that we are, that money would go back in a rebate to the ratepayers, right? So in essence, they get credit for a reserve contribution of 970 plus $1.2 million. So on an annual basis, that's
2.1. Yeah.
So if 2,700 and 2,719 yield 2.1, how much each is it? You're better at this than I am.
2.1 divided by 2,917?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like, so 2,800 connections is about the average estimate. So if you take 2.1 and divide it by 2,800, that would tell you what each resident is potentially putting towards reserves.
Oh, divided by, so $750 annually divided by 12 is $62.50 a month, right?
No.
I put 2.8, no, that doesn't make sense.
1 second.
How many million?
$2.1 million divided by 2,800.
750?
$750.
Yeah, it's about $62.50 per month per residential connection.
Okay, so you're taking on an annual basis. Let me see if I'm hearing this correctly. You're taking 750
a year.
A year to yield 2.7. 2.7 at the current rate keeps us stable. We spend in that neighborhood in CIP.
Right, and that's the 2.7 comes from other factors, so that's adding in connection fees plus security, but water. And yeah, so what we did was take the 2.1 million, divide it by the number of connections, which is around 2,800, excluding some of the commercial
right.
meters.
Right, and I'm just generalizing here because I'm trying to understand that we take 750 a year to keep our infrastructure up to date
right.
from the individual ratepayers, and all of that. All that does at the present time
keep us
we're actually where we are.
Yeah, and we're somewhat in the loss there because I think our current budget for capital improvements 2.5 million, and that's pushing some projects to the next fiscal year. So we have, you know, the next fiscal year we have a water, you know, conversion to sodium hypochlorite that's projected at 1.5 million.
Yeah. So my thinking is that. And understanding the criticality of what we're doing with these audits is you can't dig out of this hole.
That's correct.
Without long-term financing for capital improvement.
That's correct.
It does not work because you're already slamming people with $750. Even if you double it, you're still only making a contribution that gets you ahead by $2 or $2.5 million a year. You just don't get there. Not with what the Loomis report says we need.
Correct.
I understand that we can massage that and we can do better, but this we have to keep ramming this through on the backs of the individual ratepayers is not going to, in the long term, it's not going to cut it. It's just not.
Yeah.
I also thought that this reserve not only is for CIP, but we should put some money aside for rainy days. We have to keep some cash in our bank to mitigate any risks, any large payment. So even though the reserve is for mainly capital improvement, we should also have extra funding for 90 days of, you know, reserve or 120 days.
Well, yeah, even from the standpoint of cash flow. I don't, against the operating budget and not against reserves, which you can't pull on just randomly. You have to have something to allocate it to. But once we get an idea of where all this money sits mm-hmm. as a result of finishing the audits, maybe we can figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, this is
no good. Public comment.
This is good work. I mean, I.
So I will add another chart for the breakdown for professional services to be added onto here.
Yeah, the thing I just want to make it clear that the $1.9 million or whatever the number
right.
is mostly cow waste.
Yeah.
So there's no question that it's tangled up in legal fees or anything like that.
I think I have one more note on my side that to add is our other expenses in the very first pie chart. The
okay.
other expenses, it's about, can you move all the way to the
pie chart? Okay, get in here. This one?
The expenses.
Oh, expenses?
Right. So I want to add something to that. The other expenses included in that 5%. We have $182,000 budgeted for Casell conversion. So at this point, we're delaying that. We don't know when we're gonna use it. So just so you know that it's on in that other expenses and other IT professional fee as well related to that. Casell, which is our next accounting software.
We're tied into it, which we want to be, but we have no resources to implement it. Right, not right
no.
now. I mean, and we got.
Unless you're sending me down there.
Yeah.
That's all we want to do.
And you know, I've been through three of these in my life, and They never do what they're supposed to do.
I know. I agree with you.
Oh, yeah, we're going to implement a new package.
Right.
And, yeah, that'll take like 90 days, and it winds up taking 9 months.
Right. And the IT professional will say, we can do these for you, but when you actually receive the product, it's not exactly what they claim. And most of these people don't know debit and credits. They will implement everything to the wrong categories. I've gone through a couple of these.
Yeah, and I'm understanding, at least from what we talked about, that this is adaptive to the kind of accounting we do, where we reallocate. You know, we're not doing basic G&L and P&L statements. We're allocating everything back, and you know, we'll see. But anyway, we'll do it when we're ready. And I don't see that before we work our way through these audits. So at least the only thing outstanding is our existing year. Okay.
No public comment on that topic.
So the budget schedule is on here?
The budget schedule is up. We have added, obviously, this meeting that we're in right now, and then we've added a special board meeting next Monday at 10 o'clock in the morning to present the budget to the whole board.
Okay.
No public comment on that?
No.
Continuation of debt service.
Okay.
So in May of 2014, we needed to build the water treatment plant, and our share was about $4.5 million. The board decided, instead of going to a source outside of us, that
yes,
we'd borrow the money from ourselves.
We did.
So we had a $2 million interfund loan. $1.5 million was from sewer capital replacement reserves, and the other $500,000 was from water supply augmentation reserves. Like Cecilia told us earlier, it was projected to be paid off in 2026, but because we've increased the number of connections, that's also increased the fees. So it'll be paid off this month or next month. We'll have that hopefully at the board meeting. Will you have it next week, next Monday, or on the, I don't know, I think it's the...
No, because it's based on customer count, and I won't have the last month of customer count until July 30th when the utility bill
comes
out.
So, the end of the
story. Well, we can have
you can have a discussion.
A 90% discussion and 10% theoretical about when it's going to end. When it ends, whatever day that is.
Yep. Within the next 60 days, so that it'll probably be an adjusted rate. Anyway, the question is, does the board want to continue this fee? Do you want to get rid of the fee? Or do you want to, if you do want to continue the fee, how do you want to divvy it up? And then if that's the wish of the board to discuss, the wish of the committee to discuss it with the board, let us know so I can put it on the agenda.
Right. And, well, we might as well put it on. What's the most ideal? I mean, it's not like we have two meetings coming up. You can pick and choose.
You tell me.
Put it on the second one.
Okay.
This is about the $6 fee on everyone's bill.
It's a discussion about whether we give it back, we keep it, we put it in reserves.
So the monthly amount that we generate from it currently is about $17,502 based off 2,917 total connections. And then we could look at when it starts to go away. I think there's various reasons, and this is completely a board decision, but there's various reasons to keep it, as it's not an accrued cost or an added cost to what people are already expecting, because we're already generating it. There's been talk about a lot of programs, cash for grass. We also know reserves are low, so there's a lot of stuff that it could go towards.
And it shows up in the 218 notice, does it not?
No, let me double check.
I think we would have to change that, because if we depending on what the board decides, if we choose
so
to use that.
So it shows up, yeah, on the sample bill.
It would have to, yeah. I mean, because it's on the bill.
But I think it's specified as going towards that debt service,
which would be
a Patrick question, because I think if we change it to something else, we're going to have to spell out why.
And we're talking about $190,000 per year?
Yeah. You know?
So it's around there.
Okay.
Okay, and...
So are you going to talk to Patrick to make sure he understands what the issue is?
Sure, yes, I will. Because he might say, no, we can't, do that.
And it's not a tax. It's an interfund loan between two reserves that we're repaying.
Yeah, that the board voted to borrow from ourselves.
Yeah, it made complete sense. It saved us a crap load of money.
Sure, and there was interest paid on the loans, but it's paid from this.
It's funny money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I do have a public comment.
Yes, Richard.
On this topic, if you'd like to hear it.
Wow, I can't believe there's any question about this. This is like the bank. You get a car loan, mortgage. You've been paying it off for 10 years. The loan's paid off, and you say, well, we're going to keep on collecting it.
No, I'm not saying that.
I hope not. I hope nobody is.
I'm not. If I was king, I could, but I can't.
But I don't. I hope Patrick says.
If I was president of the United States, I could do it.
Yeah, I mean, this is collected for one specific purpose. That's why we've been paying it every month, $6 a month, every month.
I know.
It's paid off.
We have just paid off a loan.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have returned the money to where it came from. I don't know if it's allocated to the right fund, but we have the money. We have the money.
The $6 was collected for the purpose. The purpose is gone. It's just, it was into fund loan, but now it'd be the same as if we collected it from a bank. The loan's paid off.
How about a 3-day party for 3,000 people?
But frankly, I don't see why there's any question at all about that. Okay.
And if we had a party, we'd have to have it outside the gates.
Yeah.
Okay.
Make it public.
All right.
Or at least open the gates.
Cross that bridge when we get to it.
Okay. I'm back with you.
Utility billing only to the...
Oh, no. This goes to Eric.
So this is kind of become a standard in the industry that we're seeing from a lot of agencies. And the reason this is coming forward to the board is because of the recent concerns over past due bills that seem to happen a lot when a landowner isn't aware of a renter or lessee not paying the bill.
Not paying the bill.
And so... usually our recourse is only with the property owner. And so what a lot of districts, cities, agencies have done is gone to utility billing in the owner's name only. The owner then can choose to bill the lessee or renter, but at least that way they're completely aware. Also, it lowers the amount of bills that we send out, because currently we send out a lot of bills to two people that are really for one account. So that way we're keeping the property owner aware. The property owner has recourse through their eviction courts and process if they're not paying that portion of the bill. But this has become kind of a standard. So a lot of large places, the city of Sacramento, Stockton, and there's Dublin, a lot of places have gone to this system. So that way we're not acting as like a intermediary or reaching out to multiple parties to try to take care of this. And also then we don't end up with property owners coming in and saying, hey, I wasn't aware that we owed you $18,000. There's something you can do. Because legally through policy and procedure, we're kind of tied to trying to get that revenue back.
Yeah, and in the cases where we get significant amounts of non-payment, I mean, we're essentially carrying that, because I'm not sure if we bill the property owner and he pays, he will have to go find some other remedy other than turning off the water. He won't be able to do that.
Yeah, correct. And I think right now, currently, I mean, if we're looking at, I think what's been discussed is $174,000 is the revenue that hasn't been paid to some of these late fees, and it sounds like a lot of it is tied to some of this. Some of it is not, but I think this is a way to completely handle it, because we would still use the same teeter process, but we can also just place a lien on the home, but then we're eliminating that question, did the property owner ever know that this was going on? Instead, it's just the property owner. There's various ways that cities have chose to do that. Some of them have chose as a new process, basically what exists they keep in place, but any new account only goes in the property owner name. They won't do any for the leasee. There is a public outreach component to this, which we would need to notify, but that's why it's for discussion, is how do we want to implement it if we choose to implement it?
Yeah, because our, I mean, and one of the things you could do if we're going to have this discussion is tell us exactly what Sacramento County does.
Yeah, so attached to this was the City of Stockton's notice, and the City of Stockton, the way they chose to implement it, it wasn't, so we didn't get it into the agenda, but the way they chose to do it was they chose to do it by a long-term process. Each new account could only be in the property owner's name. They did keep the existing ones. The City of Sacramento's policy about doing it, I haven't seen the outreach that they did. I looked up the actual code. It is a very, very lengthy document about it only being in the property owner name. And so realistically, it comes down to how the board wants to do it, but that is how they do it. And it's for water, sewer, solid waste. Electric falls under different code and different regulations. And so typically electric utilities is still carried in a rentee or leasee's name. The other three that fall usually under a city's jurisdiction are not.
And what happens if we're in a situation where we're billing the landlord for the water and they get behind and don't pay the bill? We don't have any lock off.
You still can, so you can still do a shut off, because it's the same as a leasee not paying, and we do that now. That's the same lock that we do now. Doesn't matter whether you're the property owner or non-property owner. There are districts that have gone to what's called water as a way of life, and they do no turnoffs. That's a separate policy and a separate item altogether. You can still do water shutoffs with an owner only. The reason a lot of them have gone to the second, where it's a water right of life, is because they know they're going to put a lien on your property should you choose to not pay. But that also then ties it up with, you get that revenue when it's sold. And yeah. I think that item, we should keep the water shut off, but I think the owner only.
Well, what I think we need, we start this with a discussion on exactly what's going to be required collectively to communicate, to understand the law, to compare it to what the county, and if you want, to what Stockton does. I mean, we're nowhere close to making this decision. I mean, it's dicey. I mean, and you can't start any of this without complete communication and understanding for both lessee and landlord about what's going to happen. And you're right, then there's another discussion about when we start or how we start. Do we start going forward? Do we go retroactive? Whatever we do, so. Okay.
Yeah, I think what I would advise is, as we go forward, current people are used to the situation they're in, and changing that can create distress and uneasiness. Going forward is very easy process, because then everybody's well aware, and yes, yeah, there is a very large public outreach component to it.
Okay, all right, so put it on, move
board.
It up for discussion. There's
okay,
no action, I don't think.
Board. All right.
Okay, any comments?
I did have one. So the number that I generated earlier, talking about the revenue that would come if we were to sell potable water or provide potable water to the golf course, that excluded, that's just the fee they would pay per volume. That doesn't include the monthly fee that would be generated from reserve contribution, as well as the meter charge. And so it excluded all that. That
right.
was just.
It doesn't essentially turn them into a commercial customer.
Correct. What it did really was just looking volume, what it would cost them volume wise. I just wanted to state that just in case it came up in the future. The size of the meter would be a larger monthly fee than most.
Yeah, and my point here very clearly is I'm not recommending we do anything, but I am suggesting that before these folks who are running around trying to organize whatever it is they're organizing to buy this country club should know in advance, okay, of any expenses that they would incur from the district or any changes in expenses from the district before they commit to doing anything. So at some point, Mr. Suchuk and his group should understand, and that has to come from us. It's a decision before they, you know, they can't make a deal understanding that they get free water and then we decide that no, they don't, or vice versa.
I think that there is a provision in that agreement, and I will send it to everybody, and I'll post it on the website if you need these, this meeting, that we can revise the agreement after the initial 25 years or something.
Well, the trouble with the agreement, first of all, I've read it at least 10 times.
Sure.
There is no stipulation in the agreement about price. There is a stipulation about service. There's a stipulation about quantities and quantities in periods of drought and whether they take all the water or they don't. There's all kinds of stuff in there. And the agreement can be modified at the end of 40 years,
okay.
But the agreement can only be modified if both sides agree. So it's not like one side can make a change or the district can make a change. The agreement is for an additional 20 and there's another 20 beyond that. But again, there is no statement that the water is without charge. There are lots of statements about what happens if we need to get on their property and fix something that they haven't fixed. But as far as the price for water, no, it is not in there whatsoever.
Okay.
So. Anything? Any other comments? Questions? All right. Thank you. Then we are adjourned at 10:37.
Thank you.